You're listening to a podcast by Martin Scott. Thanks for joining me today. Our subject, eschatology. Books, speculation, time charts, definite predictions, escape routes. What a minefield. How do we respond? I hope we can discover a healthy framework to shape our perspectives. Sit back, listen, be provoked, and enjoy. So let's get on with today's topic. In this podcast, I'm going to focus on some New Testament background. The scene we find ourselves in when the New Testament era begins, I think I could describe as being a very full time. It is pregnant with expectations about the coming of Messiah and the intervention of God. Some of that expectation flowed from the interest in the passage in Daniel chapter 9, verse 3 through to 29, where he received revelation that the time allotted for the oppression to end was not 70 years, but 7 times 70, or 490 years. The calculations that the Jews worked on depended on when they thought that whole captivity began, but there were some key suggestions made by the scholars of the day with regard to the end of the captivity. Some were suggesting the turn of the eras, others the middle of the first century, and that certainly fueled the Jewish revolt that followed. The revolt commonly known as the Jewish War, 66 to 70 AD, that culminated in the destruction of the temple. Others suggested the second century, when again a very significant revolt took place. With the opening of the New Testament, we have a nation that has to be set free, nation of Israel. The question is, when is this going to take place? The concept of the nation being in bondage, Tom Wright has used the term exile for this. He's not using this in a geographical sense, but in the sense that the nation is still under the curse, not the blessings of God. And we know, obviously, Paul uses this term in Galatians, writing of Jesus becoming a curse for us, the us being a very typical Pauline term to refer predominantly to his own identification with the Jewish people. So with Israel, their election is to a purpose. If they sin and persist, then they will end in exile. That's the message we find that flows through what is termed the Deuteronomic historian, who gives the basic outline that judgment came on the people for disobedience, starting in 722 with the exile of the northern tribes, and again in 587 with the destruction of Jerusalem by Babylon. Now the situation we have at the end of the Old Testament, or the beginning of the New, is that the redeeming nation themselves, the nation called by God to bring redemption to the world, is in need of a redeemer. They are in bondage, and although they are back in the land, they are still, in some measure, in the land, but living in exile. The temple cult is corrupt. The Roman forces rule the land. King Herod is a renegade, and he is subservient to Rome. This is not Israel. They are not free to be the light to the world. Israel is waiting for her deliverance from this exile. She is waiting for the promised restoration. Even with a return to the land, there is an ongoing awareness of exile or being in bondage. Ezra chapter 9, for example, verses 7 to 9. From the days of our forefathers until now. Now he is speaking from within the land. From the days of our forefathers until now, our guilt has been great. Because of our sins, we and our kings and our priests have been subjected to the sword and captivity, to pillage and humiliation at the hand of foreign kings, as it is today. Or Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 36 to 37. But see, we are slaves today, slaves in the land you gave our forefathers, so they could eat its fruit and the other good things it produces. Because of our sins, its abundant harvest goes to the kings you have placed over us. They rule over our bodies and our cattle as they please. We are in great distress. This perspective of bondage, or as Tom Wright calls it, exile, is explicitly stated in the intertestamental work of Barak. Barak 1, verse 20. So to this day there have clung to us the calamities and the curse which the Lord declared through his servant Moses. And again in chapter 3, verse 8. See, we are today in our exile where you scattered us, to be reproached and cursed and punished for all the iniquities of our ancestors who forsook the Lord our God. So, although at the time of the New Testament there might well have been a stream of thought that was rejoicing because of their presence in the land, the verdict of history was that the people were still in exile. The freedom that they hoped for was obviously future. This is what fueled many of the Jewish sects. They were asking the question, what does it mean to be faithful to the covenant? Indeed, they were asking, who is Israel? A little side note here, a sect is a particular group of people who share the same worldview as the wider group that they are connected with, but they have a self-awareness and belief that they are being more faithful to the worldview than the wider group themselves. So, for example, the Pharisees are a sect within Judaism. They, however, believe that they were the faithful ones. The other Jews, who were not Pharisees, were commonly classed as sinners. Judgment was coming on Israel because the other Jews were not being faithful like they were to the law. This is why Saul of Tarsus, a Pharisee, in his zealousness for the law, was persecuting Jews who claimed Jesus was Messiah. It's important to remember he was not simply persecuting Christians, he was persecuting Jews who had converted to what we would call Christianity, claiming that Jesus was the Messiah. Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, knowing the law, understood that such a claim was tantamount to blasphemy, because they were claiming that one who hung on a tree, a cursed one, was none other than the Messiah. Hence, in his zealousness, he went out to persecute the others. The exile, then, is something that is still continuing. As Tom Wright says, as long as the Herods and the Pilates rule Palestine, the great prophecies of Ezekiel and Isaiah were still waiting fulfillment. Not until Israel's God, who is the God of the whole earth, demonstrated that he was both of those things, Israel's God and the God of the whole earth, demonstrated he's both of those things by liberating Israel from this internal exile, would Jews be satisfied that the covenant had been kept. This, I suggest, is one of the main narratival frameworks of the New Testament. This is how it understands the Old Testament story. So I'll take Matthew's Gospel. Matthew chapter 1 begins with the genealogy of Jesus Christ. The word in Greek is the word Genesis. It's making a statement there is a new beginning taking place in Christ. He is the son of David. He's the son of Abraham. He is the inheritor of the covenant promises. Matthew then takes the genealogy and gives it a certain shape. He frames it with three groups of 14 generations. A first group from Abraham to David, a second group from David to the exile, and a third group from the exile to Jesus. He deliberately frames it in a way that the exile is continuous up until the time of Jesus, and with Jesus is a new beginning, is the end of exile. He goes on to say that this Jesus shall be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Or let me add the word, God is with us again. God has come to be with his people yet again. He has come to end exile. His name shall be Jesus, for he will forgive his people for their sins. Sin was the reason for the exile. And then throughout the gospel, we continually read the words, this was done in order to fulfill what was written. Matthew writes with a worldview that the exile is coming to an end, but only coming to an end in and through the ministry, life, and death and resurrection of Jesus. The time of fulfillment is now here. He does not write with a great sense of, let's wait for a future event. He is writing on the basis that the new era has now begun. The time is now. Now is the time to respond. Now is the time to live in the light of this. This end of exile thought goes all the way through to the end of the book with the Great Commission. And for those who have listened to earlier podcasts, let me now paraphrase it this way. The commission is to spread the teaching of Jesus so that the whole creation might be rightly aligned to its purpose of welcoming the presence of God to his home, his temple, his creation. And it's in that context that the promise of Jesus is to be with his disciples till the end of the age. It is the end of exile. God in Christ is going to be with his people. So the New Testament opens with great expectation in the air. And the perspective is that the expectations are being met in and through the life and work of this one, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Eschatology is not simply future. We have to look back to the life of Christ to understand our eschatology. One other aspect I'd like to cover in this podcast is the term the coming of the Son of Man, particularly as it appears in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 7, verses 9 to 14, let me read those words. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow, the hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. Then I continued to watch because of the boastful words the horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast was slain and his body destroyed and thrown into the blazing fire. The other beasts had been stripped of their authority, but were allowed to live for a period of time. In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Let me read again those words. I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. Jesus, in Matthew 26, verses 63 to 64, in the dialogue between Jesus to Caiaphas, we read this. The high priest says to him, I charge you under oath by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Yes, it is as you say, Jesus replied. But I say to all of you, in the future you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. The coming of the Son of Man, as outlined in Daniel, is not the coming of the Son of Man from heaven to earth, but it's the coming of the Son of Man in the heavenly court to the Ancient of Days. It's the picture of vindication from oppression. This is going to become an important element when we begin to look at Jesus' discourse in Matthew 24 and in the parallel passages. Let me, prior to examining that passage in future weeks, leave you with the quote from Matthew 24, 29 to 31. Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send his angels out with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. The New Testament begins with great expectation. The New Testament claims that those expectations are being met in and through Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He himself proclaims that he will, on the clouds of heaven, appear before the Ancient of Days as the Son of Man. We must be very careful when we read the New Testament passages that we do not project all eschatology into the future, some far distant or even near distant imminent future event. We have to understand the New Testament claim is that now is the time, the fulfillment is here, the ends of the age have already begun. So, until next time.
You've been listening to a podcast from Martin Scott. Check out the website at www.3generations.eu. I look forward to talking to you again in the near future.